You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday, and I am very, very thankful for that. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and you know, I was talking with Danny before we came on the air here, and I was like, you know, sometimes being in the radio studio is the quietest part of my day. Back when I was working in retail, I was pastoring the church and working retail and husband, father, you know, son, all that sort of stuff. And I made this statement one time. I said, I came to work so I could rest. not that I was going to be lazy. It was just that the work there was just different. It wasn't as demanding as what I was, you know, facing with some of the other areas of my life. And so I hope that you find the half hour that we spend here with you on the Refresh radio program, I hope you find it spiritually refreshing. If you do not have a church home, we would be honored if you chose to visit with us, worship the King with us. Our mission statement is that we are blessed to be a blessing. And we've got some ministries that have are in the process of taking off. A lot of times people come in and they see that we are not one of the biggest churches around, as far as numbers of people who attend. I said, well, we may be one of the smallest churches around, but we have a lot of ministry that goes on for a church our size. And all of that stems from we want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our families. We want to be a blessing to the church. And we want to be a blessing to the community, spiritually, relationally, however we can be a blessing. That's what we try and do. And if you are looking for a church home, maybe you're new to the area, the population of Brevard County has increased by over 100,000 people here in the past few years. And if you're one of those, we would be thrilled. A lot of times, because our church is off of the beaten path a little bit, people don't know that we exist. Our church is located two blocks north of 520 and two blocks west of Courtney. That's the main intersection in Merritt Island. And so we're two blocks northwest of that particular intersection. Today we are going to conclude our study in Psalm 50. We have been focusing here over the last several broadcasts about God's indictment of the wicked. Now, if God brings charges against you that you're wicked, you're wicked. It's the evidence is there. But God is not looking to condemn. He's looking to redeem. Judgment and you know, separation for God for all of eternity are options, but it's not God's preferred choice for you or for me. And so today we are going to be talking about the solution that God has in place in Psalm 50 for those who have forgotten God and therefore their behavior has become unacceptable and displeasing in his sight. It's not that our actions cause us to forget God, but forgetting God gives birth to ungodly actions. Verse number 22 and 23 read this way. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. So God's solution to those who thought that God was altogether like them, that they did not think God worthy of remembering, retaining that information, God's solution to that is threefold. First off, it says, whoever offers praise glorifies me. That word, and so whoever, we sing a song in our hymnals years gone by, whosoever surely meaneth me. So you can tell by the language, it was not something that just came out of the song mill, if you will, in 2025. It goes back a ways. The hymnal, that song probably goes back to the 20s or 30s. But whoever means you, it means me. Whoever offers praise, and that word offer is delivered in the sense of it's a sacrifice. Whenever I think of sacrifice, in the Old Testament, I think of going to the house of God, going to the altar of God, and it is that place where we offer a sacrifice, and it is a sacrifice not that we define, but that God defines for us. A lot of times, people want to dictate the terms to God instead of allowing God to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And so sacrifice means it's something that is valuable to us. It is something that we offer to God. And one of the study Bibles that I have describes giving as something that is given irrevocably over to the Lord. In other words, when I give to God, it is not like the government gives. Whenever the government gives money or a grant or something like that, there are strings attached to that. If you have a college scholarship, there are conditions that continue to have to be met in order for you to avail yourself of that scholarship. You have to continue to operate within that major. You have to continue to excel in your classes and things like that. If the government gives you money, there's going to be some restrictions on what you can do, and if you're not careful, they control what goes on. And so there was a time when we did a food ministry, and we were able to purchase food, and the agency that we purchased food said, the government now wants to know the names and the addresses and all of this information on the people to whom you are giving these resources. Now, we weren't giving those resources to, you know, just anybody. They were ministry projects that we would do. So we would go into poor neighborhoods and we would do a kids program, and we'd bless the people of the apartment complex with groceries, but it wasn't, you know, ways that we, you know, supported ourselves or anything like that. It was ministry projects. And when the government said, we need this information from you to continue this, I said, I'm not interested. I don't want the government telling me how I'm supposed to conduct ministry in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. And so that's, so we said, we'll find another source, or we will discontinue the ministry. And unfortunately, that's what ended up happening. So God wants us to give to him, to offer up to him a sacrifice of his defining on his terms. And the sacrifice that he is looking for is an offering or a sacrifice here in verse number 23 of Psalm 50 of praise, of thanksgiving. It is a way for us to say thank you and to celebrate the God that we once forgot but did not forget us. A God that we may have abandoned, but he did not abandon us. And so if you are here today and listening, and you have found that God has been faithful even when mankind has not been faithful, you and I, we can say, God, thank you. Thank you for sending your best. A lot of times, we are thankful for God sending his best, and our response is giving him our least. That's not the way we're supposed to respond. We are supposed to offer praise to God that, here's the latter part of this first step, that glorifies him. And so that word glorifies, it means to honor. It means that it is something that weighs heavy upon us. So there's a weighing device, and it's called a fulcrum. It's an ancient system. And what it would do was it would have two sides, and you would determine weight by balancing things out on the scale. It's very hard to get something exactly down to precision weighting. So a lot of times something would weigh more on one side than the other side. You determined that one thing was weightier than the other. That's what glorifying is. Glorifying is putting our life in the balance and putting God on the other side of the fulcrum and determining that God is worthy of more. He is weightier than everything else in our life. So when we talk about being a blessing first of all to God, that's what we mean. That when we make decisions, the will of God is of premier importance. It carries the most weight. It carries the most influence. And so it talks about glorifying him. Not just what he does, but celebrating God. I like that the Old Testament, some of the annual occurrences on the Jewish calendar, some places call them festivals, some translations. Other translations call them celebrations. I want to encourage you, don't forget to celebrate. Don't forget to celebrate God. Don't forget to celebrate that he forgave you. Don't forget to celebrate when he answers your prayer. Don't forget to celebrate when he shares a word with you, either in your devotion time or in pulpit ministry or whatever it may be. Whenever God acts, celebrate what he has done. Those celebrations caused us to remember very important things. So Passover was a very important celebration. The atonement is a very important celebration. And you and I, we get to celebrate the things that God not only did in the past, but what he is doing in his church in 2025. So the first cure that God says in this trilogy of actions that take place, the second is to him who orders his conduct aright. So as we begin to praise him, we return God to the place of preeminence. God is more important than culture. God is more important than anything. He's more important than the economy. And so we need to place him at the highest point of priority. And when that happens, it says there are going to be people who will put things in their life in the way that God wants them to, or there will be people who won't. That will not be simply the words that come out of their mouth, but it shows up in conduct. How do they behave? What do they do? You see, there is life being done God's way, and then there is life that is not done God's way. One leads to the Father. One leads away from the Father. And so really the trio that I'm talking about, the trilogy that I am talking about here, two of them are actions on our part that result in God demonstrating something on our behalf. So maybe you're new to the praising God thing. I want to encourage you, don't let the fact that you've never praised him before stop you from doing that very first act of praise, of saying thank you. You know, parents are assigned by God the responsibility of training up children in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart from it. One of the ways that you do that is you teach those young children, and you're better off starting young. It's a lot easier to instill principles, lifelong principles, when they are young than waiting until much later in life to start. It gets, because at that point in time, you have to undo things in order to put the right things in place. Sooner or later, bad conduct is going to have to be dealt with. So if you train up a child to respect their elders, to respect the house of God, if you train them up to carry on a conversation, to show financial stewardship, and to be a thankful and a person who remembers to praise God, you are going to set them on the path that is going to result in a lot of healthy benefits in their life. I used to live in another state. I taught in a small church school. I didn't teach every grade. I taught fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. I taught multiple subjects. And one of the things that I taught the students, I was a young adult pastor, was primarily what my responsibilities were as serving as an associate pastor. But what I told those young people back there, you know, and this goes back decades before I ever moved to Florida, what I taught them was, you know, if you will live the way that the Word of God tells you to live, you are going to be worth your weight in gold when it comes time for you to have a job. Because if you are treating the company resources with integrity, with faithfulness, if you are faithful to show up on time, if you work hard and do to the best of your ability, if you work to bring glory and honor to God, then you are going to be of tremendous resource to any company that wants to hire you. You know, during difficult economies when jobs are scarce, the cream rises to the top, as they used to say on dairy farms. And in good economies, when there are more jobs than people, then if you're really, really good at what you do and godly in what you do, the Bible talks about you will serve before kings. There will be people who will try and recruit you. Now, I will tell you this. Not everybody who comes looking for you, offering you a job, is in your best interest. So there was a conversation that I saw on social media. This goes back a couple of weeks, of a person that was looking for a church, and they had some very specific things that they were looking for, and the floodgates opened and everybody was on there talking about, you know, hey, this church does everything you're looking for and things like that. And there was one thing that was mentioned in that particular article that, you know, we don't necessarily do it the way that they were talking about, and that is, does the church provide Bibles for the people who don't have Bibles? Well, the answer is yes. We will get a person a Bible. We have Bibles available, but, you know, if we don't know that, we don't have them just sitting there, you know, that somebody can pick up. If they ask for one, we'll give it to them. We don't have book shelves on the back of our chairs. But what I really wanted to tell that person was, this is my prayer. I pray that God will lead you to the place and the time that he has chosen for you. See, I don't look at church as a commodity. I look at it as a divine assignment where God has set my steps and ordered my steps so that I'm going to be able to thrive in my journey with him and my ministry for him. So conduct is something that is corrected when we put God as the source of our praise and consider him the most glorious entity in our life. And it says to the person whose conduct changes because of their relationship with God, God is going to show the salvation of God. That's the third element here in Psalm 50. It's the last of this particular psalm. I, God, will show the salvation of God. He's going to demonstrate it. The word salvation there means salvation, it means deliverance, it means help, it means happiness, it means victory. So, if that's what God will demonstrate for us, guess what sin is trying to deprive of us? Deprive us of is the way I should say that. So the enemy is trying to remove you from a place of spiritual and relational safety to a place where you are in jeopardy, where you're the target, you're the prey, P-R-E-Y, instead of the recipient of salvation. The devil doesn't want you delivered. He wants you in bondage. The devil does not want you to know that God is actually your greatest source of help. The devil wants you to think that you are a helpless victim that's just being tossed around by life and victimized at every turn, when God really wants to demonstrate that God the Holy Spirit is the helper that you and I need. Instead of experience happiness and peace and joy, the devil promises those things and delivers misery and heartache and depression. And instead of victory, which God wants to show us, the devil wants us defeated. The thing about Jesus is this: he always leads his people in triumphal procession. Praise may not only need to be offered on days when you are, where everything is going your way. I mean, you just, they sang all your favorite songs. I mean, you made all of the green lights on the way to church. Everybody was ready. Everybody was moving on time, and you got to church and it was like, oh, just so good to be in the house of the Lord. I mean, it's great when you get to praise God that way. But there may be days where you might feel like you are knocking on a door that refuses to move. And I want to encourage you, praise him anyway. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him when the sun goes down. The more that we praise him, we just continue to add more and more emphasis to his side of the scale. He becomes more and more important. And the more revelation of who we have of Jesus, the better example we understand of what our behavior, our conduct should look like. And the more that we allow God to speak into our life, not just on Sunday morning, but all throughout the week, the more we're going to see victory. I pray that you experience salvation for yourself, for your family, all your family. I pray that you experience victory over every sickness and disease. I pray that God shows you his salvation and his blessing, not only in your spirit, but in your mind, in your emotions. I pray that you experience the salvation of God in every area of your life. Praising him not only impacts him, it sets us up for all the blessings that God wants to bring with him. You are blessed and highly favored. Make sure you live the way God wants you to live. You have a great day. It is Friday. Go out and experience the joy of Jesus Christ. See you next week here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.